It's going to come into play with you this morning. Not come in and play, but it's going to come into the purpose of the service. That would be kind of weird. But anyway, on the back, you can see that there are some families that we support around the world. And Grace Fellowship Church, from the time that I came on staff in mid-1996, part-time, the missions have always been a huge part of what we do here at Grace Fellowship Church. We have always desired to not only reach out and touch hearts and change lives in our community, but we have a global vision for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the missionaries are in your bulletin every single week. But I know that sometimes the bulletin just becomes routine and you don't really peruse it over all that well. But in 2017, I want you to be able to see that we have some very specific reasoning behind what we do with our missions. And our missions, we are very active with our missions families. And anytime that they come into the States, we attempt to get them to come here and to take care of them and to be a blessing to them while they share with us about what God is doing around the world, because we believe that God is changing hearts on the other side of the planet. We believe that God is able to speak into the hearts of other people, and we can be a part of that here in Titusville, Pennsylvania. Through modern technology, all it takes is a click of a button and we can support a family in China. All it takes is a click of a button and we can support a family in Kazakhstan. All it takes is a click of a button and we can give money to a church that is doing the shoebox program right now, and we were able to do some support and send some things out to them, and all it took was a bank transfer and they had the money instantly in that moment. We live in a day and age where finances are one way that we can support. We believe in prayer. We pray for our missionaries. When our missionaries come here, we take very good care of them. But I like to have a tangible thing that we're doing so that we can see the effects of what's going on around the world. And Grace Fellowship Church has a global vision for reaching out, touching hearts, and changing lives. If you have your Bibles with you, we are in 2 Romans chapter 10. There is no 2 Romans. We are in Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, it's beautiful because what Paul is doing in this chapter is he is really letting people know how much he appreciates the support that he's getting from the churches. And I want to read this to you. For the scripture says, Romans chapter 10, verse 11, 12, and 13. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I wonder if you could say that last sentence with me. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is the heart of what happens through the ministry here at Grace Fellowship Church. Our desire is that people would come to a working knowledge of Jesus Christ, to be able to see how much he can be a part of their lives, that God is not a far-off, distant God. He is personal. He sent Jesus to us to be in relationship with us. He sent the Holy Spirit to teach us about Jesus and so that we would be able to understand the Word of God. And I believe that something that is really specific here for us is that there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. In other words, what was happening in this time period is that people, when they were going to get saved, there was this understanding that, well, they at least needed to have a working knowledge of what Judaism was, because they didn't. How could they understand God if they didn't understand Judaism? So what they would do is they would convert them to Judaism, and then they would convert them to Christianity, and they would have that process. And what Paul was doing is he was saying, what's most important isn't that we all become Jewish. What's most important is that we all have a working knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is the Lord of all. And we need to be able to see that God has called us to be that tool in his hand, to say, now we want the word of God to go forth. When I was a young boy, I would often hear messages like this, and I would say, well, if God is so powerful, what does he need us for? Can't he just give them a working knowledge? Can't he just say, there, you know God now? Because he did it. He did it with Paul. Can't he just do that with everybody? But the reality is that God is looking for willing servants to go into the world and to say, this is the Jesus that I know. And it's largely through testimony. It's largely through, this is what God has done in my life. I've been on mission trips with many types of different people. And I can remember in my own situation where I'm standing there and someone all of a sudden puts a Bible in my hand and they say, okay, now it's your turn. You need to get up and you need to preach. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm here, I'm a support guy. I'll carry the boxes, I'll set up the tables, I'll clean up the chairs. But now you put a Bible in my hand and you want me to stand out here on a street corner, literally, and preach the word of God to people who are just randomly walking by. And I began to see that what it was is that God was looking for a willing people who would be able to say, I want you to have this working knowledge. The other thing that happens is that all who call on him, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord, this is not an exclusive club. It's exclusive in that not everybody who hears the message will receive it. But it's not exclusive to the point of which, well, we can't share the message with you because of your lifestyle. We can't share the message with you because of where you live or because of your previous sins that you have. You are now disqualified from hearing the word of God. That is not true. God can and desires to save everyone. Everyone. He would love for everyone, for all who call on him. And something that happens in our culture very quickly is that we do this. We say, everyone will be saved. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say everyone will be saved. Do you see the qualification? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a completely different picture. It's not everyone gets in. It's not, you know, all you have to do is live right and do good things and that type of thing. I have a message that I love to share with people that talks about the significance of the cross. And if I can do one single thing that makes it so that I can get my own way into heaven, I immediately disqualify the purpose of the cross. The cross becomes unnecessary if all I have to do is help people across the street, mow my grass, and pay my taxes. And then I can get into heaven. Because now the cross is not necessary. But we find out that the cross is the only way to Jesus Christ. That is through the death, burial, and resurrection and believing on that. It is the only way that someone can have a working knowledge of Jesus Christ. The scary thing is that it doesn't matter how good I am at the beginning. It doesn't matter where I am with all the evil that might be living within my life. All that's required of me is to humble myself and to say, God, I need you. I want you to come into my life. And then a cleansing process begins to happen in me. I wonder if you've ever had a cleansing process happen in you. Do you have a BC life before Christ? Do you have a life that you were saying, man, before I knew Jesus, I had this thing that was definitely going to be the end of me? The reality is that Jesus desires for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. It's not an exclusive club, it's an inclusive club. All who call upon him can come. The interesting thing is that we live in a society where we are just offered so many things. Life is just comes to us and there's benefits from living in the United States. And I can see over and over again, I just finished watching a documentary on my favorite decade is the 80s. My wife asked me the other day, are you done watching that? No, there's more. There was one whole section of it that they called Greed is Good. businesses flew up and money was being spent like crazy. People had massive mansions. It was when Robin Leach was doing the lifestyles of the rich and famous. And you would sit and you would get a tour of this person's gold and marble and 17 swimming pools and acres of land. And they called it the decade of greed. And it's incredible to see that very little money. As I went in, I did, there's different Pew researches and different things that come out. There's a research company I saw that very little donations were happening during the 80s. It was, how much can I get? How much can I gain? And greed became what people were doing. But the reality is that someone who has a heart towards God, they desire to give, even beyond maybe their own capabilities. And we're not talking about, you'll notice that on our envelopes, we don't have a spot for you to enter your credit card number. There's some churches you go and you can write in your credit card number. We don't do that. We'll never do that. We might have an ATM in the back someday, though. No, I don't think we will, but we're not going to put a spot on here for you to go thousands of dollars into debt because somebody was able to come up here and tug on your emotions and say, we need thousands of dollars to get this particular thing done, and you don't have it, so you put it on your Visa. That's not giving. Can I get an amen? So what we do is we say, God, how can I be a part of this? Many people don't want to travel. I get that. You know, I understand. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. I never saw myself as a missionary. But something that really leaps out at me is in verse 14 in Romans chapter 10, it says that it kind of turns it back towards us. And Paul says this, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? So here we are seeing that there's a verse that says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But then Paul turns around and he says, but if nobody ever hears the message of the gospel, how are they going to be saved? How is that going to happen? And he says this also, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? What a tremendous call. Last week I shared with you about being ready in season and out of season. At some point, I hope that when we have our missionaries coming, that your heart will be pricked in such a way and moved by the Spirit that you would see a missionary family and you would say, I would love to go and stay for a time, maybe a week, maybe a few days, and just be with them and minister to them and love on them and then come back home. We get to come back. But that's something that we call short-term missions. That doesn't even always fall into short-term. Sometimes when somebody says short-term, they do something very similar to what Kelly Coulter did, is they just like pack up and they go for 3 months. That's short-term missions. But what we have to be able to do is to say there's this simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel is that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they going to receive that message if nobody ever goes? And that's where we come in. Grace Fellowship Church has always been a place of sending people. We have had great missionaries go from this body of Christ. We have had great missionaries come in fellowship with this body of Christ. And we have seen lives completely transformed in regions of the world where none of us have ever physically been. But God has used someone who said, I want to go. I want to preach the gospel. And so then what we do is we say, we want to help you go. We want to be a part of sending you because we want to see someone preaching the word of God on every continent this planet has. We want to see the gospel of Jesus Christ spread throughout the various regions. In verse 15, he says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? How are they to preach unless they are sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. And this is so true. This verse is so powerful to see that there would be somebody who would be willing to go to the far reaches of the earth and to say, these people must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that. You have seen multiple families time and time again come into this fellowship and share about their call and the burden that God has. And we have graciously been able to see God move upon us collectively as the body of Christ and see money come in, not because one person just decided to write a big, huge check, but collectively we've said, here's what the Lord has laid on my heart. And we have seen thousands of dollars leave this facility and go into the far reaches of the world. You and I have a tremendous opportunity. And in 2017, I really felt like the Lord was calling me as a pastor and as a leader here at Grace Fellowship Church to continue to bless those who have left the comforts of the Western civilization and gone into places that are often battle-ridden. They're overtaken by people that have different religious beliefs. They're overtaken by people who will literally kill them if they find out what they're doing. They will be persecuted on a huge level if anyone knew exactly what it was that they were doing. And that's why you'll see in our bulletin that we don't put a ton of detail down about our missionaries. We've actually been asked by some of our missionaries. I thought I was doing them a favor. I had a number of them on our website. It's called the World Wide Web. I got an email from one of the families that we support in Kazakhstan, and he said, oh, I really appreciate what you're doing, but can you remove me from that, please? My family lives here. We're trying to do something. And I was instant. We took him down. We took everybody down. But I want to take a few moments and talk with you about some of these families that we support. And I want to be able to share with you at the end the type of blessing that we're able to be to them as a church collectively, because I think it'll really bless you to know that you are a part of this huge mission of reaching out, touching hearts, and changing lives. The first couple that I want to talk about is Andrew and Autumn Webster. They live in China. China's big. It's huge. It's a big place. And when somebody says they live in China, and you look at this and you say, well, where in China? And for a long time, I was saying that they lived in southeast China. It's actually more south central is where they live. And if you know your geography, which I do not, I might seem like I know a lot, but because I've been studying for this, which I think you would assume I would do, is that I realize that something that Andy does is he has what Paul refers to as a tent-making business. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say tent-making business? What he's doing is he has a full-time career that he's trying to get started so that he can live in China. And while he's there, he needs to be able to support his family and show that he's adding to society. You just can't be there and live off of donations that come in. And so what he does is he actually lives in a what we would kind of consider like a foothills region of the Himalayas. It's really incredible. And what he does is he offers bike tours to tourists, and they get on their bikes and they go riding through the Himalayas. Now, you might think that sounds awesome. I think I'm a number of years away from being able to ride my bike up Fillmore Hill. But some people like to do this. But just so you know, the Himalayas follow across right here with Nepal, right in here. And India does a kind of a funny thing where India's here and here, Bangladesh. What happens is that the Himalayas go right across like this. And in that, I'm about to zoom in on the map, and I didn't want you to lose where we were going, just so that you can see where we are. They live right there. That's where Andy and Autumn Webster live. Right there. And that's at the edge of the Himalayas. And their desire is to have relationships with people. The interesting thing is that years ago, what people really felt was necessary in order for a missions family to be qualified, they'd have to start a church and that church start churches, and they would have to be growing and thriving in some way and really like impacting hundreds of thousands of people maybe. Andy and Autumn have lived there for almost a decade. And they have a handful of relationships that they've finally been able to make connections with. And we support them full time. Andy and Autumn are classmates of ours. Andy was a class ahead of us. He graduated in 94. Autumn was Alexa's RA. Is that true? Is that right? No. Just a friend of hers. I don't know. Becky was her RA. Autumn was a good friend of ours in our class, and the two of them got together. Now they're raising their family in China, and what an incredible family they are, and we support them full time. Preston and Ella Shaw were just here not too long ago. Actually, the Websters were too, that we were able to spend some time with them. They live in Kazakhstan. Now you can see China is off to this side, and something is interesting here is when I see this, there's a region of the world that God has kind of brought to our attention just by default. But Preston is a guy that came into a relationship at Grace Fellowship Church through a traveling band that he was a part of. And one time the band was here, and he said, "This is actually my last tour with the band. My wife and I are moving back to her home area in Eastern Europe, and we're going to begin to do lifestyle witnessing in Kazakhstan." I was like, "What are you talking about? That's amazing. You guys are just going." And they packed up all their stuff and they moved out. And one thing you have to know about families that do this kind of thing is that there's always a ton of work that needs to be done in order to get established. And they also have a tent-making business. They run a coffee shop, and they've been working at this coffee shop for a number of years. They started it from nothing. They completely renovated the building that it was in. They established it as a place that you would want to go to get what they call a Western cup of coffee. Apparently, Starbucks has done something for us, and everybody wants a Western cup of coffee now. And so he has a, it's called the English Cup is the name of their place that they have. And they've established this, and they've established it to the point, listen to this. They've established it to the point to where they've actually handed it over to the nationals that live there. Preston doesn't operate in the, he has like a consulting level, a management level, but the operations of that coffee shop are now run completely by people that are from Kazakhstan. Is that not incredible? And then what he does is that he's able to go in and do English speaking classes with them. They all want to learn how to speak English. So what they do is they all get a cup of coffee. They sit around and they have dialogue together, and it's through that they interact with them, and they tell people about Jesus Christ, and people get led to the Lord through their English class. They don't have a church. He's not the pastor of a church. What they do is they support the local things that are going on, and they interact with them, and they see God do some incredible things through lifestyle witnessing. Saying, I'm a human being. They see him with his family. He was here, and I don't know if you remember him saying this, but one of the greatest testimonies that he has to offer the people is how he interacts with his wife. To many of them, it's completely foreign, the way that they interact and the way that their family socializes together and the things that they do, and it's a huge witness to them to see how they interact together. But in Kazakhstan, the Shaws live right there, just in case you wanted to know. And this is the region that they're in. They're down in this lower part, and they've got this amazing, amazing call to say, we want to teach people how to not only speak English, but to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. My good friend Robert Vargo is another missionary that we support. And he has a very unique relationship with missions traveling. And at one point, I was thinking maybe I'd put my wife on the spot and have her share exactly something that really spoke to Bob probably about 15 or 16 years ago, where he was leaving and he wasn't telling anybody the region of the world that he wanted to go into. And Alexa asked a very random question about that region of the world. And Bob was like, "That was God. There's no way. Nobody's ever asked me that before." And Bob goes into what we would call Eastern Europe. And he's been to a number of these countries, but he has a specific calling on his life to work with a gentleman that is a missionary in and of himself, is that they live in this region right here. You can't really see it all that well, but it's called Montenegro. And Montenegro is a very impoverished area. It's very hilly, very difficult to travel around. But the gift that we have there is the shoebox program. And Bob goes and works with Vladimir and Mariana, and the two of them have a church that is extremely small, 15, 20 people, very small congregation. And the Samaritan's Purse comes along and puts in the port for them, where they have to go and get it, 20,000 shoeboxes for a church body, 20 or less. And so Bob goes with resources and a desire to help them do this, and they hand out shoeboxes, Christmas shoeboxes, for a number of months. A number of months. Like, it's not all 20,000 shoeboxes, just in case you're wondering, don't get handed out all in one day. And they do this for a number of months. And something that was happening was that Bob was having a difficult time getting things together with his flight. And just like what most of you would do, he said, I'm really having a feeling that the Lord is kind of closing some doors for me right now. But I know that Grace Fellowship has been regularly giving to my travel expenses, because that's what we do. We give to his travel expenses, and then when it's time for him to buy a plane ticket, he uses that money and goes. He said, it doesn't look like I'm going to make it for the shoebox program. By the time I get there, the shoebox program will already be over. Is it okay if I use my account that Grace Fellowship has, and we send out a check of $2,000 so that Vladimir and Mariana can have an easier time of handing out these shoeboxes? I said, absolutely. A couple of clicks of a button, and Vladimir had the money like that, transferred it right into his account. Shoeboxes are being distributed right now. Well, I don't know about right now. I don't know what the time change is. But shoeboxes are being handed out right at this time because of the generosity of you. Right now, shoeboxes are being handed out. It's an incredible opportunity to be able to say we're a part of that. Going on in Montenegro, he's also been in Bulgaria, and we were able to be a part of an orphanage in Bulgaria and say we have a need here, and we were able to give them thousands of dollars towards a van. We were able to give them some money towards getting a washing machine, and we saw God do some incredible things through the contacts that we have in that area. Another family that we're very closely connected to is John and Pamela Okinda. And they're in Kenya. And John and Pamela have an amazing call on their lives to go back to the region that he was raised in. He left it, went to Nairobi, which is the capital, was living in a very comfortable setting and all that kind of stuff. And he just really felt like God was calling him back to what we would consider bush living. I mean, there was nothing. He said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to minister to the people. And that's what he did. And he went from Nairobi, I don't know if you can see the capital there, back to his home area, which is Maguri. And it's right here in this little corner where Lake Victoria sticks into Kenya. And he's tucked in right there in a small community that he's been able to do an orphanage. He's been able to start a Bible school. He has a teacher's college. And he has a thriving church that they just finished. He was here not too long ago sharing this with us, that he just finished building what we would consider a cathedral, a very large facility for over 1,500 people to be able to attend church at the church that he started almost 20 years ago. God has used John and Pamela to do amazing things, and we have a very long-lasting relationship with them. We also have a relationship with the Gullens. They live right there, Mississippi. And we had a chance to go down and hang out with them when Samantha, their daughter, got married, and we were able to connect with them. And what they're doing is they're living stateside right now while they continue to see their children just kind of graduate and go through school. They have a heart and a passion for Asia. They lived in Japan for 13 years. Alexa and I, right towards the end of that time, we were able to go out and visit them and spend some time with them before they moved back to the States. And I have to say, that's one of the top five things that I've done in missions work, is going and visiting that family and seeing how much they needed to see somebody from the Western world, and we were able to go out and do that with them. It was a huge blessing to be able to connect with them. The Mark and Michelle Gulland have been a part of this church for many, many years. But something that I wanted to do before we kind of conclude this here this morning is I wanted to let you know that we're taking on some new people. We believe that it's one thing to be able to support various organizations throughout the world, but I want to be significantly giving to them. And here's the thing, is that it's all right when somebody comes. There was a season when missionaries were coming and they would say, we don't need a lot of money. We were wondering if you could pledge to support support us for 1 year for $25 a month. If you could do $50 a month, $75 a month, that would be such a huge help to us. And we had probably half a dozen, seven or eight families that we were supporting on that level. And what I did is I sat back one time and I was having this conversation with our treasurer and some of the other people on the board. And I said, I would love to be able to say that we are making a significant difference in a particular family. What if we were to say, okay, $25, maybe it's going far in what somebody is doing, but what if we were able to take that amount of money that we're giving collectively and we were able to funnel it to one family? How much of a difference would that make in that one family and what they're doing? Our missions giving would remain the same. And yes, it would require us to maybe have a phone call where we're saying, hey, you know, this kind of thing is going on. This is what we're trying to do. And it came down to, as long as I was willing to have that phone conversation with somebody, they were willing to let me do it. And so I did. I called them up. And every single missionary that, if I could put this in quotes, I would, that we dropped, They were like, that is amazing. You want to be able to do that with a particular family? I said, this is what our heart is. And they said, we completely understand. $25, we're not going to miss it. Okay. And we pooled our resources around one family for a number of years. We were supporting them from anywhere from $500 to $550 a month, one family. Incredible to be able to funnel that kind of money into the resources that they had. And then what I did is I said, I would really like to begin to expand our missions giving. And I believed that what God was directing us to do is to make sure that our missions giving was a tithe from the church. We talk about the tithe at Grace Fellowship Church, and we believe in the tithe. But how strange would that be if we're preaching the tithe and we're asking you to be tithing, and then Grace Fellowship Church doesn't tithe? That just seemed kind of strange to me. So what I did is I said, could we take a tenth of what comes into Grace Fellowship Church and just automatically earmark that as our tithe to the mission field? That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. In a few weeks, when we're able to go over our budget, I think you'll see that through the generosity of people like yourselves, we are able to significantly fund missions around the world. We're not in the category of $10, $15, $20, $25. And I'm not actually speaking down on that. I know that there's some people individually, what they do is they also give to our missions that we support in the bulletin. They look at them and say, hey, I'd like to give $50, $75 this month directly to. And there's some people that do that. But as a church, I said, I want to significantly pour in. I want to funnel that money to them. And so what we do now is we say, who are we able to relate to and who are we connecting with? And the Websters have been here twice out of their 10 years that they've been in China. They've been here. The Shaws have been here two or three times from Kazakhstan. Bob comes on a regular basis. We all love, those of you who are members, love Bob when he comes around, plays his saxophone on the worship team with us. We have a great time with him. The Gullens have been able to come up and share with us and be a part of what's going on. John Okinda has come all the way from Africa and shared even to a small group in a midweek service just saying thank you. And there's another family, they're right on the back of your bulletin, the Slishers. The Slishers, Matt Slisher is a classmate of mine and Alexis. And they have been staying in a region that is familiar to us in Kazakhstan. What they would do is stay in Kazakhstan, and I don't have a full picture of what they were doing, but it sounds like they were going into China as they could to get some things established in the region that they moved into. But Matt and Stephanie and their five children live in northeastern China. That's amazing. They have completely uprooted their family and said, what we want to do is we want to go and we want to minister and do, again, lifestyle witnessing. We want to be able to be a part of this. And he contacted me back in July and he said, Phil, you know, I'm just asking, we're trying to do something. Wondered if your congregation would be willing to do even just a one-time gift just to kind of get this vision that we're doing off the road. And I have to say, I get requests like that quite a bit. And in full disclosure, I read it. I talked to him about it a few times, and time passed, and nothing really came about of it. And then towards the end of 2016, as we were going through our finances, we found out that we were really short on our tithe. We had some makeup to do, which is a lot of fun. And so we sat there and we kind of went through some things, myself and Mark Mellenbacher, the treasurer, and we just kind of said, okay, here's what we can do. Here's what's left over. Here's what we have not tithed on yet. And I was like, man, for that amount, we could almost pick up a brand new missionary family. For that amount, we ran some numbers real quick. Sure enough, we could. And what we were able to do is I was able to contact him. We were able to give him a one-time gift in December, and we picked him up in January as a full-time family that we support now in northwestern China. What an incredible, incredible opportunity that we have. Specifics about where they are on the back of your bulletin, a little hello from them as well. About what us being able to be connected with that family. Something that has come as of late is our trips to Tanzania. My good friend Dan Larkin and his wife Nancy are here this morning. And Dan approached me a couple of years back and mentioned a few things to me. And again, I get requests to go places quite a bit, and I just kind of take them as they come and just pray about them and see. And then a few months later, he asked me, you know, what do you think about maybe going on and just checking out what's going on at Kilimanjaro Christian College? And it's only been about 18 months since that happened, and we're going on our fourth trip in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, there's a bunch of us that are heading back out again. And I get to go with my wife, Alexa. Scott and his wife, Babs, are coming along. Rob Blakesley is going, and Kelly Coulter is heading out with us as well. And Rob and Scott are going to be teaching a class at Kilimanjaro Christian College on church history. I've been able to teach a couple of classes at Kilimanjaro Christian College, one on some Old Testament books, some on church. Church leadership is the one that I did last time. And then I did one on the life of Christ. Extremely humbling opportunity to be able to go into Kilimanjaro Christian College and minister there. And it's kind of neat, too, that in the specific region that we're in, like I told you, it seems that God is kind of narrowing us in. And the area that we work in with Kilimanjaro is right here at Mount Kilimanjaro. You can kind of see how the border dips up like that. And that's exactly where Mount Kilimanjaro is. And we're able to go in there, minister at the college in Moshi is the town that we're in. And we're able to go there and minister for 5 days, teach them the Word of God, put some tools in their hands, and we pack up and we go. And these men and women, they come together and they fellowship and they talk and they want to know what it means to have Christ working in the local church and they're not looking to westernize their churches. They're looking to effectively give the Word of God to people. This is the class that I taught in September. And I'm just really honored and blessed to be able to be a part of that. Dan and Nancy actually just came back about a week ago or so. Wednesday night, they just got back. And I want you to see that God is doing something incredible at Grace Fellowship Church. We have a desire to reach out and touch hearts and change lives in our region, but there's something that happens when we can say, I want to be a part of sending. And so finally this morning, I want you to see what your role can be. Almost every missionary that I talk to, this is the first thing that they say, please pray. We are in such a difficult place. We are in such a hard place. We're looking for people to turn their hearts to the Lord. And if they do in their own family, there's drastic consequences. And we're just relating with them and we're asking them to give their hearts to the Lord. And they're looking for people who would be willing to pray. And when they connect with the church, the missionaries that we have, they don't come to me with a dollar amount that they need. They come to me with the spiritual side of what they're looking for. None of the missionaries that we support have ever come to me and said, this is the amount that we need monthly in order to make it. They said, would you be willing to partner with us? And first and foremost, would you be willing to pray? You'll see that on the back of your bulletin are these families are here. If you wanted to, you could tear this off and you could stick it on your refrigerator, put it on your mirror in your bathroom. You could do whatever. And you could just take one a month with your family. And maybe you could learn about the region and you could say, this is something that we're doing. We're praying for these missionaries. We know that God is going to do something incredible. Grace Fellowship Church is pouring out and sharing with them, but we also want them to be able to reach the region that they're in. Also, what happens is throughout the year, we have special projects that we do with these groups. Is sometimes we're helping put in something as basic as a septic system, which seems kind of rudimentary to us. What do you mean they don't have a septic system? We found out that the Okindas needed one at their place. They needed a water well. The Shaws needed drywall to finish off their cafe, and we sent a special offering for drywall. Sometimes bags of cement. And on top of our monthly giving, we'll take a special offering and we'll send that out to them. And so anytime we have a special project, I want you to know there are no administrative costs in any of the missions offerings that we take. If we receive $800, $800 goes. If we receive $779, $800 goes. We are a rounding up church. And we want to make sure that we're able to help them get through various things. If they need a vehicle, if they need a way that they can house people and they're just doing something as simple as making more room in the home that they have, that's extremely difficult in the regions of the world that we're talking about. And here's something that's really special. It's just continue to support their ministries through your faithful giving here at Grace Fellowship Church. I'm not asking you to give more. I'm asking you to continue to tithe. Continue to give as the Lord has blessed you. I'm not asking you to up your tithe in some way, or I'm not asking you to look at to see some way that you can add into some special offering or something like that. As long as you are faithful and you're tithing on what God is blessing you with, these families are going to continue to get blessed. Because that's how we do it. Whatever comes in, we send it out to them, and it is us tithing. As you tithe, we tithe. And it's a direct response. It's a direct result of your obedience to the Lord. And that's incredible. You don't have to do anything extra. I feel like I'm like on the Home Shopping Network. You don't have to do anything. Just keep on doing what you're doing. And these families will continue to get blessed. Here's the fun part. We support our missionaries at a minimum of $300 a month. All of these families that you saw receive a minimum of $300 a month, except for the Okindas. The Okindas they're giving is channeled through the Okinda Kids, and it's handled a little bit differently. The Gullens, it's handled a little bit differently as well, because what we do is we put money into an account for them that when, as soon as they're able to head off to Asia, they have an account that they can buy a plane ticket out of. So the Okindas and the Gullens, their money is handled a little bit differently. The Shaw is $300 a month. The Webster's $300 a month. Bob Vargo, $300 a month. The Slisher's $300 a month. And we are looking and seeing God do incredible things. And I wanted to share this with you going into 2017 because it is so much bigger than us. This is your ability to be able to say, I have my hand involved with God's work in Kazakhstan. And before this morning, I didn't even know where Kazakhstan was. And now I do, and I know that people are hearing the word of God because of my faithfulness to my home church. That's incredible. That's incredible. Can we stand together this morning? Next week will be our final Sunday here as a team. We're getting ready to head out. And we're going to have a time of prayer over the team that's going to Kilimanjaro Christian College, to Moshi, Tanzania. And we're going to be able to have an opportunity. There's a special project that's happening at the school. You see this beautiful gate that they have. And then right beside that gate is a hedge. Once that entryway comes to that end and the hedge is there, there's nothing to stop people from just walking through. They've planted a row of hedges really close together, and that's all that they have to protect their facility from outside people. If a goat was really hungry, he could chomp right through there in a few minutes probably. I think in some places, is there a chain link fence, or is it just all the hedge?
Some places there's not a chain link,
but like a barbed wire or something. Oh, okay. So in some places there's a little bit more, but for the most part we're talking about a hedge. And so what we're gonna do next week is we're gonna come together and we're gonna be praying over the team, and we're gonna be seeing God do some incredible stuff, and then we're gonna receive a special offering so that we can contribute to the building of some secure walls around this particular facility and be able to go and bless them and see God do some amazing things. Amen. Do you have something? Awesome. Debbie.
Thank you. I feel that as my classmates, I'm going to the ISEM course, and all my classmates are going to Tanzania. And through our studies at the ISEM class, I have learned about giving and our rewards in heaven. The Lord said when he's going to open up the book and he's going to tell us our rewards that we get and that we've received in heaven. And I was like, well, okay. I was wondered about my rewards in heaven and how he's going to prepare a place for me and what's going to happen. And I'm not called to go to Tanzania. I don't feel like God's calling me to go to the mission field. But as we support our mission fields or other local people that are doing missions, even from our mission we have here for doing Bethlehem, the live nativity, and as we support Samaritan's Purse and these other things, in our class, this is what I've learned about blessing. So I feel like today maybe some people could be a little bit offended by giving, but you can't outgive God, sorry. And it might be feel like it's a plug today to do this, but guess what? I've learned that, because I was in an offensive mood against one of my friends who was in Campus Crusade. And he'd always call me up, can you give this year? Can you give, to plug. And I'm like, you're just going and you're just having a Bible study with these kids and whatever, you know? And it's like, after a while, I just got offended. He was asking me to give. And I just said, oh, I'm not going to do it. If I can afford it, I'll give you like an offering once a year. And my heart was just not where God wanted it to be. But I've learned that giving to like something like Campus Crusade, when I stand at the White Throne Judgment, everything, if I support Campus Crusade, everything that Campus Crusade does from then on out, I get credit for too. God will bless me for that. By giving and caring for Samaritan's Purse, every child that's reached with Samaritan's Purse, God is going to say, well done, my faithful servant. And so when you're looking at this today, I mean, you can't outgive God and the blessings that God is going, you know, we're blessing him. And we're if you think you can't go to Tanzania or whatever, you can do major wonders for God and his kingdom and supporting him and whoever you touch, even to the live nativity. You know, it doesn't have to be national. It's local, too. So I just thought I'd come up and say that today, that I don't want offense to be like this is not a message today. But it is a message because God has a purpose for us. And you have to find your gift and your purpose and where he wants you to plant yourself and spread the word.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this morning, we're not ending with an offering. We're not, okay, now we're going to plug in our missions. What we are doing is we're saying we want to be available. We want to be available. God, I am, just like what Debbie said, many of us are not called to the mission field, but that doesn't set us free from the burden of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can be an active part of it, whether it's financially or prayer. So the bulletin that you have, I wonder if everybody, if you have one, if you could just pick it up real quick while we close this time out. You've got a little piece there that introduces you to the slishers on the back. You can see that what we've done is we've gotten the the region that these families are in. We don't get too specific. You'll notice that I didn't say the towns. There's two reasons. One, I can't pronounce half of them. But I didn't want to say what town they were in because we're recording. So I didn't say what town they were in intentionally. Just told you, look on the map. Everybody that's listening by online right now is like, where are they? Where are these missionaries? So we do that intentionally. But the bulletin that you have, can you just find a way to be able to say, I want to pray for these families. I want to be able to support these families through prayer, lifting them up in the situations that they're in. And we're going to do that collectively right now. And it's a neat thing that happens. I don't know if this is going to be kind of unusual for some of you, but we're doing it anyway. what I want you to do is I just want you to hang on to that bulletin right now. If you're next to somebody that has one, you hang on to it as well. We're just going to together, we're going to lay hands on this, and this is going to transfer. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to minister to these families right now. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and as a church, we stand together believing for the very word of God to go forth in these regions. We thank you for the Websters. We thank you for the Shaws. We thank you, Lord, for the Slishers and Bob Varga, the Okindas, the Gullens. Father, we ask right now in Jesus' name for your hand to be upon these families, that as they give of themselves, that Lord, we are able to say, we support you. We believe in what you are doing, and we want to see the gospel of Jesus Christ spread throughout this world. We thank you and praise you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just as you're going, remember we have sign-ups in the back for home group and for the kids clubs that we're starting. Please make sure you get a part of that. And also, the Hope Chest has an email sign-up in case you're not a part of that. God bless. Have a tremendous week. We look forward to seeing you Thursday night for a night of worship. God bless.